welcome listeners to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by SimTrain of the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. I'm Jeff Pedro, in with Mark Avery, and SimTrainer is located at 2031 Dryden Road, just across from DP&L in Moraine. You can visit us on the web at sim-trainer.com, or you can give us a call down at the shop at 937-293-3914. I want to start off today's show just by dedicating it to my granddaughter, Audrey, who is 1 year old today. And for those of you that have followed this miracle child's journey, she's 1 year old and she's progressing very well. She still has some obstacles and hurdles I'm sure she's going to have to jump over here in the future. But this 1 year anniversary, this her 1 year birthday is just very, very special. So along with dedicating the day, I'm going to dedicate the show. And I want to again thank all of the listeners and friends and members who have shared their thoughts and prayers over the last 12 months in her journey through the medical procedures that she's required to have had. And she's doing very well. And I'm glad to report I stopped in and saw her today, and she's all smiles. And
she always smiles when grandpa stops in.
That's exactly right. And that's a very good feeling. And she's ready to start in on to the second year. And soon she'll be 18 and graduating from high school and then going on to college and then getting married.
And man,
I hope I'm around for all those things.
Yeah.
But anyway, as far as gun-related issues, I want to report a very interesting and I think reassuring finding that the National Shooting Sports Foundation, the president of the National Shooting Sports Foundation, Steve Cinetti, and his staff have been working very diligently over the last several months to come up with answers, because you can imagine the questions we've had about ammunition. They've had way, 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 way more questions, and they've been coming from a variety of different sources. So what they did, they just buttoned down the hatch, and they started looking at all the possible sources. They're proud to report that they've
pretty much... Every one of the rumors that they've chased them all down?
They've dispelled all of the conspiracy theories, all the issues, some of which you've been, you yourself, Mark, have gone through some painstakingly difficult and detailed research to dispel. But they say that there's really no conspiracy theory, and the conclusion, based on talking with manufacturers, talking with consumers, looking at NICS data, is purely a supply and demand issue. And I just want to throw out a few numbers that will kind of give an idea. They stopped by, and I guess they talked to one of the manufacturers. I think it was Remington, and the people at Remington said that they've ramped up production in all areas. They're lagging a little bit in the area of 22, but they're producing, get this number, 4 million rounds of small caliber ammunition per day. 4 million per day. So they're doing everything that they can. And, you know, that's just a good feeling. The other thing that they pointed out, they got the updated and I guess the adjusted NICS reports through April of 2013. And get a load of these numbers. In April of 2012, there were 931,660 NICS checks. In April of 13, there were 1,185,231, or a 20%+ increase. So if you take those numbers and you realize for the last 36 months running, 3 years, we've saw significant and substantial increases in the number of NICS checks from month to month. So more and more people are buying firearms, which as a result, more and more people are going to be buying ammo, and more people are going to need ammo for training and a variety of different things. I want to assure you that from the standpoint of the range, we have seen a significant increase in the ammunition we have available to our members for the services that we provide. Now, with that being said, I want everybody to understand, now's not the time to run out and start stockpiling. Now is the time to replace what you use, and just get yourself into a steady flow of being reasonable and rational in this overall process. If you see a good deal and you have an opportunity to take advantage of a good deal, I'm not going to discourage you from doing so. Your buying practices are your own business.
On the idea of a good deal, use the numbers that you remember from a couple of years ago as a measure of a good deal. Because, I mean, when you're talking, now, granted, the price of some of the metals are up, and so we probably won't see those prices from 2 to 3 years ago again. But when you're talking about 75 cents around for 223 for the 5.56, the AR-15 round. That's not because of the price of the metal and the price of the manufacturing. That's because of demand. And when it drops back down to 50 cents or less, then now we're talking about it's a lot closer to a price based on what it costs to manufacture and a normal demand as opposed to an extreme demand that we've seen over the last. And it was 30 cents around, 30 or 33, 35 cents right. around. But I don't know that we'll see those prices again. But down between 40 and 50, probably.
Absolutely.
You know, we'll see that again.
I think that's very reasonable. It's already happening, and there are decent quantities hitting the shelves. I just want to mention the National Shooting Sports Foundation. They don't get as much publicity as the NRA, and maybe that's a good thing. And they
recognize
their place.
Part of that is because it's an industry organization. They speak to people like you and
exactly.
me and the gun shops
exactly.
and ranges and
but,
so forth.
But I just want our listeners to understand that they are working day in and day out to promote the shooting sports. And if you have the opportunity to visit their website at nssf.org, you will see the variety of things that they're involved in. And we talked a couple of shows ago about their Project Gun Safe and the different things they're doing for firearm safety. If you have the chance, go to their website because they have some excellent video on everything from safe handling of firearms to range etiquette and protocols to how to correct a shooting low and to the left problem. Their videos are tremendous. They're usually short, to the point, and very instructive. They give visual illustrations. So regardless of what time of learning modality you tend to prefer, there's going to be something there for you. And they just
of course,
have
the best way is to come to Sim Trainer.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I'm proud to say that when I look at those videos and I see the content and I see the consistency in what they're teaching and what we're teaching and what they're promoting, what we're promoting, it makes me good. It makes me feel really good that we're doing the right things and we're being consistent in the way we're trying to get things across. There are a lot of good places out there doing a lot of good things, and they're all promoting the shooting sports. But the National Shooting Sports Foundation, they are out there being our advocates. They're looking forward to championing the cause and fighting the battles that lie ahead of us. And there are issues, and all you have to do is look at an internet article or read an article in the paper, and you'll see that the anti-gun community are trying to find every single way they possibly can. They're meeting with stiff opposition everywhere they turn. That's what's really interesting, because 10, 15 years ago, I think people turned a blind eye to some of the attacks they launched because they thought, oh, well, there they go again. And quite frankly, as a result of our apathy, they made inroads. Well, we're not apathetic anymore. A matter of fact, we're standing up for what we believe, and we're taking very positive action, everything from legislative initiatives to just not tolerating some of the things and not believing. This is the big thing, I think, now, and this is one of the things we've tried to promote on this show, not believing the things that are being distributed just on face value, and you're taking the time to search out the truth. I remember when this ammo craze started, there were all kinds of things circulating on the internet, and that's just one part of it. I think informed people have power, and uninformed people subject themselves to kind of the domination of the opposition just by the fact that they don't bother to spend much time finding out about the truth.
I can't prove this, but my belief is that a lot of those rumors were started by the anti-gun crowd to make the gun community look silly.
Yeah.
And that when you and the same thing, you know, there are people that do that to Christians all the time by sending out these emails that argue something and say, oh, some terrible thing is happening. And the anti-Christian organizations are doing this and you better get out there and send stuff to the FCC and so forth. And all of that was garbage. I know that some of that stuff was done specifically to make people look stupid, and it wouldn't surprise me a bit to find out that the people that started these rumors, because somebody starts it either just because they came up with this crazy idea as to what might be, but I think that there is a good possibility that some of those were started intentionally, specifically to make us look stupid by believing that stuff. And then when the facts come out, they say, see, these guys, you can't trust them with anything, and you sure can't trust them with guns.
Right.
Something we haven't done yet and we probably want to do is to let people know how they can be part of this show. If you call the studio at 457-1290, and we'll get you up on the board and let you participate in this discussion. Maybe you have a question or comment that you'd like to make about some of the topics that we've already talked about, or maybe you just have a question on something totally different related to firearms, and we'll be happy to take those as well.
I wanted to just mention, as far as legislative initiatives go, you may have followed in the news that both the state of New York and Colorado kind of ramrodded and rushed through some very restrictive anti-gun legislation. But I think what's really telling about that is the majority, the overwhelming majority of the sheriffs, the sheriffs, not the deputies, the sheriffs of those counties affected in those states have taken a stand to say, look, what you're doing is unconstitutional, and we're not going to play hand in violating people's constitutional rights, particularly Second Amendment rights of people and or Fourth Amendment rights when it comes to, you know, pushing the plate as to how they're right. going to go about enforcing some of these laws. And I mean, when you see some of them, they're very, I don't know if draconian is the word, but they're very scary.
They're off over the edge.
And they basically, the sheriffs come out and they say, listen, we support the Constitution, and essentially these laws are unenforceable because they're going to require us to stomp on people's rights, period, end of conversation. And I think, you know, remember, these people are in elected offices, so they stand to lose or gain votes by the stance they take. And I think it's pretty definitive when they stand in unison, they stand together and say, we stand together, we recognize that we represent a constituency, we feel that the constituency is likely the majority, and we're not going to enforce these laws.
Plus, they've sworn an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, as well as the Constitution of their state and the laws of their state,
yeah.
And it's in that order. The yeah. Constitution of the United States is the highest law in the land, and then if there's something that conflicts with that was put together by a lower level of government, the conflict has to be resolved in favor of the Constitution.
That's exactly right. And that's unfortunate. As a law enforcement officer, it's terribly unfortunate that those legislatures were so narrow-minded to put law enforcement officers, whose jobs are already extremely difficult, in a situation where they have to choose between doing the right thing or worrying about what's going to happen in a number of different fronts if they do the wrong thing. So I'm hoping that over time those laws can be rescinded and the protocols can be implemented so that even if they remain on the books, there's not going to be situations where the line officers, not only the sheriffs, but the line officers who get dispatched to the calls aren't put in precarious situations where their jobs are on the line based on their action or inaction.
We need to take a break here in just a minute, but before we do that, I would like to again invite you to be a part of this show. We appreciate you very much being listeners of the show and tuning in on Saturday afternoons. And if you'd like to be a part of the show, or if you have a question or something that you would like to ask us, or a comment that you'd like to make, call the studio at 457-1290 and we will get you up on the board as well. We have a lot of other things that we want to talk about before we run out of this hour, but we need to take a break right now, so stick around. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. Unfortunately, a portion of the studio recording was lost. We pick up with the end of a caller's question regarding the use of steel-cased ammo.
I mean, is that something I should avoid, or what's your opinion?
My opinion, right now, it's going to be a little bit, I'm going to give you two sides.
Let me ask one thing first about what is the caliber and for what weapon is it?
9mm, semi-automatic.
Okay. Well, here's the issue you got to understand. Most all of modern guns are manufactured and put together with very tight tolerances. Some of the older steel case ammo has had problems with feeding, not only with feeding, but also with dragging as it goes up into the chamber off the top of the magazine, and therefore causing striations to form on the actual internal housing of the slide assembly, okay, which as a result can cause problems, especially when you start getting fragments of that metal grinding in between each round that's loaded and causing even deeper grooves to be cut. I saw it very obviously in two DPMS rifles using some of the imported steel case 223-556 ammo, so much to the extent that the uppers had to be replaced on the guns because they were so damaged. Now, that being said, I will tell you just, I'm going to give you one manufacturer. I think the other manufacturers are probably following suit, but I only can speak of one. Hornaday is doing a great job right now with some of the T&E they've done with their steel cased ammo. And making sure that it is performing very well and not having those kinds of problems. Another issue with some of the imported ammo was the lacquer or the material they put over top of it, particularly again in the 223-556 rounds that was causing the guns to jam and causing the rounds not to feed as efficiently as they're supposed to, causing drag, which resulted in the fragmentation of the casing and again striations to form in the housing. But you've got to look, and I think the best thing to do is my advice is to stay with quality manufactured United States in-states manufactured ammo for now until you see how the others are performing. Now, okay, that being said, some of the AK-47s and those lines of firearms, the imported rifles are handling, though they're designed by design, they're made to handle those rounds very well and they don't have any issues. But the 223, the AR variant M4 type rifles in particular, and the modern handguns weren't really, the testing and evaluation with many of those is not with that kind of ammunition. So as a result, it's going to be, we're the test crew. When I look at test and evaluation in gun magazines, most often I see the major U.S. manufacturers as the ammunition that's used in those guns. And I think some of that's by design, and some of that's because they're aware of some of the problems that have happened in the past. Now, because of the lower cost, people are going to be lured to try that. So I want you to just use good caution. And my best advice to you and all the rest of the listeners is to just use good main manufactured ammunition and don't get yourself in that situation.
One of the other things that I've noticed is that in some of those overseas production ammunition types, the powder residue leaves almost a crystalline residue. And when you take that, particularly with an AR-15, and blow it back into the action, it causes much more wear than the typical U.S. manufactured ammunition. So you might try it. I doubt that one box of ammo is going to damage your gun beyond any kind of repair, but it's one of those things that you're just going to have to make an evaluation for yourself. Paul, thanks very much for calling the show. We need to take a break for the news at the bottom of the hour. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290. News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Rachel Parsons, spokesperson for the National Rifle Association, and you're on Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Jeff Pedro and Mark Avery, and we're from Sim Trainer. If you'd like to get on the show today, give us a call at 457-1290, and we'd be more than glad to discuss any of your firearms-related needs. I want to remind our listeners that we have upgraded our inventory of Try It Before You Buy It firearms. Recent additions to the already pretty substantial collection are the Springfield XDS in 9mm, and we have also the Ruger LC-380. Two guns that I think many of our listeners are probably interested in and would like to have the opportunity to shoot. If you're so inclined, just come on down to the range, and for the $10 gun rental fee plus the price of a box of ammunition, you can try those guns out. You can compare them to other guns and see if it's something you might be interested in. Mark, what's the new one that just came in? Loads the two rounds, it just bites you.
I haven't tried it yet, but
gosh darn it, you probably,
I forget what the name
it.
Of it is, but
anyway, I'm gonna my review. Some of the people have asked me what my opinion of it is. This, it's a new two-shot firearm manufactured by one of the lesser known, but it seems like a pretty good quality gun, but boy, does
it's basically
have
a two-barrel Derringer.
Yeah, it's a two-barrel Derringer. You load them both top and bottom, and the benefit for many people are people who can't rack the slide. They would be able to still handle the gun, and it fires one then the other in succession without you having to do anything at all. And I had it right on the end of my tongue, and I can't remember it. And I wanted to mention it because some of the people have asked about it, and I just want to let you know that it's a handful. And if you have a chance, we have a couple of other new guns that we're just doing some T&E with, and give you a chance to shoot those. So if you'd like to do that, take a visit to the range. We'll be open today until 5, and then we'll be open tomorrow 1 to 5. I also want to remind our listeners that we have partnered with Ruger between August 1st and September 30th. If you purchase any of the vast Ruger firearms that we have in our inventory, you're going to not only get a good deal on the gun, but you're also going to get entered into a raffle for a new gun. Ruger has they're promoting their new 4R program. It's a manufacturer-based incentive program for the various distributors, and it passes on savings and opportunities to the consumers. And we don't know exactly what gun that they're going to send us for the raffle gun, but you'll be entered into a raffle, and whatever gun they sell, we will auction off. We just auctioned off a Ruger LC380 to an individual last week, as in conjunction with our raffle we had for people who joined the NRA between
Memorial Day
and 4th of July.
Day.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to have this raffle going on through, like I say, September. And then as we get into the fall, I'm sure that some of the other manufacturers are going to offer some additional incentives. But we have a full line of firearms in stock at the present time. If you're interested in getting something, I would encourage you strongly to do the try it before you buy it, especially with the guns that we have in stock. If you're looking for a mainline concealed carry gun, or you're just looking for a gun for home protection, recreational shooting, or whatever the case might be, we have a very good supply, and just like ammunition, the guns are starting to flow. I will also remind you, if you're looking for an M4 AR-type rifle, they're starting to become more and more available. We just got one in the other day, and it was the neatest thing. It's a DPMS Flat Desert Earth Magpul accessorized AR that has the Desert Earth stock and forearm and grip, and it really looks nice. And if you're interested in those kinds of things, just stop down the range and talk to our staff, and they'll be more than glad to get you on the course to purchase a new gun.
Jeff, we had a call from someone who didn't want to go on the air, but Wes from Sydney had a question about carrying and what happens in terms of leaving a firearm locked in a vehicle at work. I don't have a whole lot of detail, and unfortunately I didn't get to talk to him, but we do often get the question about what happens if my workplace has a policy that says I can't have a firearm, I can't bring it with me to work, but I have a license to carry a concealed handgun, can I leave it in my car in the parking lot? From a legal perspective, the answer is yes, you can leave it in the car in the parking lot. Even a no gun sign at the beginning of the parking lot does not create a criminal violation of any kind. It did at one time. It used to be criminal trespassing, but as a result of a change in the law, it is now only civil trespass. The problem comes with, especially if it's a place that you work, what is the employee guide say? And it's possible that if somebody discovered that you had a firearm in your vehicle, that the employee policy could be that bringing a firearm onto the premises, including the parking lot, could be a fireable offense. And that's the risk that goes on. This actually happened in Oklahoma. In fact, that's where this wave of laws to make that illegal for somebody to be fired because they had a firearm in their vehicle when the vehicle is their own property. That's kind of where that started. It was Weyerhaeuser, and I forget, there were a couple other companies that had done that. They'd gone out and searched the vehicles, giving the fact that you were an employee there, that you had already given permission for the company to search your vehicle, and then went through and found some people that had guns. That it was hunting season, and that's what they weren't doing anything unsafe. But it violated company policy, and there were some people that were fired as a result. A lot of people didn't think that was a very good idea, and there was then this wave of laws that have gone across the country. Unfortunately, that wave has not yet hit Ohio. So there is no legal protection that would prevent you from being fired if the employer policy is that if you bring a gun onto the employer's premises, including the parking lot, that could be a fireable offense. It's not a legal question. You're not going to be charged with anything, but then that's the kind of question that you have to answer for yourself as to whether or not it's worth it. And you know, some people may live a long ways from where they work, and they may work in an area that's pretty rough and want to be able to have their protection available with them when they get to their vehicle, and I can certainly understand that. But those are kind of the questions that you have to answer for yourself if that's an issue that affects you.
Now, one of our members or listeners sent us an email this last week about a sign, and it was a rather lengthy sign. The letters were about a quarter of an inch in height in a parking lot, and it was multiple paragraphs talking about It didn't cite specific codes necessarily, but it said their policy restricted firearms anywhere in or on the premises. It applies to visitors to the facility. I got the impression, based on the limited information we had, it was at a retirement home or something to that effect, and reference to visitors and employees. And people are adopting these restrictive policies, some of them just out of a total naivety as to what's involved, others maybe out of naive and I think ill-advised advice from legal counsel. And the tenant
and insurance companies.
I've heard them say the basic tenant is if somebody does something bad with a gun, there could be liability. Well, I mean, here's what we know. The good people that have guns aren't doing bad things. And I know that the anti-gunners are quick to jump on anything that even remotely looks like it might be inappropriate. But when you look at the sheer numbers of increases in gun owners, the sheer number of increases in gun owners that are carrying guns for personal safety and self-protection, the incidence of inappropriate behavior is so negligible that it's not even worth discussing. Now, at the same time, I would say that we need to talk about incidents when they happen, whether it's a negligent discharge or somebody using a gun improperly, as we mentioned last week on the radio show, where somebody went next door to a loud party and there was a confrontation that occurred and a firearm got interjected. Somebody got shot and there was obviously criminal issues involved in that. We certainly need to talk about those, and they need to be condemned, and people need to avoid those kinds of situations. But when you look at the sheer number of people that are now in the firearms community, I'm very proud to say that I'm part of a growing number of concerned Americans who take personal safety very seriously, and they're responsible in their quest to become competent in the use of their firearms. They're responsible in the way that they acquire firearms and store firearms and carry firearms and ultimately use firearms. And it's a real credit to people thinking the issues through. And I want to encourage people, as we've said so many times on this show, to remember that because of the perceived frenzy, a lot of people going out and doing it, and the negative people want you to just think it's just those pro-gunners going out and being crazy again and buying up guns. That's not the case at all. People are concerned. We've seen people over the last several months that, quite frankly, when I got into this business 10 years ago, seems hard to believe it's been 10 years, but it's been 10 years, that I would have never dreamt would have been in. They tell us the same thing. I never thought I would be in this situation. Well, all you have to do is pay attention to what's going on around you, and you'd say, we'd never thought we would be living in times where certain things would be happening with such frequency that people would be concerned about their personal safety. And quite frankly, being concerned about your personal safety and taking measures to protect yourself isn't your problem. It's not a problem. It's a good thing. It is totally a good thing, and I get sick and tired of the anti-gun community making it sound like that's a negative thing and that people are overreacting. They're not overreacting. They're just taking their personal safety, something that we should hold dear to our hearts.
And a lot of people don't realize that the police don't have a responsibility to protect you as the individual. That is something that, I mean, the police are there to enforce the laws, but they can't be everywhere. Your own personal protection is your own responsibility. And this last week, the Attorney General released the statistics on the number of concealed handgun licenses issued over the second quarter ending in June, and it was another record. We had a record the first quarter of this year that was an all-time record in Ohio. This second quarter, actually a lot of people expected it to drop a little bit, but this second quarter was even more than the first quarter, an all-time record, and in fact, it was more than the total yearlies for 2005, 6, and 7 combined, just in the last quarter. So there are a lot of people that certainly reflects what we've seen in our classes at Sim Trainer, and I think it's a good thing that people are doing what they need to do in order to defend themselves. We need to take a break here, just a. Pay a couple of bills, but when we come back, we'll take your calls at 457-1290. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290. News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. And before we go back out to the phones, I'd like to let you know about something that I've posted up on our Facebook page. It is a very interesting article by Workman, Dave Workman, and he's interviewing Alan Gottlieb, who is the chairman of the of several organizations, the Second Amendment Foundation and the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, a strong Second Amendment advocate. He's found basically the handbook that the gun control groups are using for their arguments about why guns are evil and people that own guns, that that's the wrong thing, and the whole conversation about gun violence and so forth. I've got a copy of it. If you want a copy of it, you can go out to our Facebook page at facebook.com/simtrainer or go to our radio page at sim-trainer.com/radio and click on the link there to download your own copy. Read it. We're going to do the same thing. We're not ready to talk about it yet, but there's some amazing stuff in here. And most of the things that you have heard the anti-gun crowd say, you're going to find in that book somewhere. It's amazing just how they have put this together and the way that they are, in fact, in several places, identifying outright lies of things to say in order to counter the truth.
And mislead.
That, to counter and to mislead people and to make them believe that their case is valid. We don't have to lie in order to make our case. All we have to do is to share the truth and inform people. The anti-gun community has no choice but to lie and to misrepresent and to take things out of context because it's the only way they can make their point. So this is it's a fascinating set of information. If you'd like to get a copy and see what it is that they're looking at, that's certainly a way that you can do that.
Yeah, Mark, again, a major propaganda spiel there, and it's very unfortunate that I'm glad we caught on to it because it's going to help us in trying to overcome some of the obstacles that we're going to face, obviously, in the next couple of years.
Well, and I think it will also help those people who have communications. They talk with folks, and the people that they're talking with have heard these talking points, and they don't understand why people would be saying this, or they don't understand what the reality is about it. So I think that's an interesting piece of information. It's basically their playbook. So we're going to get to find out what all their plays are, and then we should be able to counter them as well. And I think that's good for us. It's too bad for them that this leaked out, but I'm kind of glad that it did. Let's go out to the phones and talk to Ed calling from Kettering. Ed, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeff, Mark, this is Ed Lean. I want to thank you. My wife went through your CCW class a couple weeks ago and really enjoyed it. She thought it was great.
Well, thank you very much. We try pretty hard to make that class excellent, and one of the things that we do that a lot of places don't have available is an attorney come and bring the legal presentation. That's always extremely valuable, and we're glad about the fact that she enjoyed the class. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Again, I want to remind our listeners about our Ruger sales over the next month. If you're interested in a Ruger firearm, everything from the Scout rifle to the SR-556, the Mini 14, the American rifle in 270, take down any of the handguns. We have plenty in stock, and it's going to purchase of one of those is going to get you enrolled in a raffle for some prizes that Ruger is going to send along. I talked to the representative, and they're going to be sending the prizes along here shortly. But the program's already in full swing. We've already sold about 5 guns, and I'm going to encourage you to take advantage of that. If you are inclined to take your concealed carry class, I know there are several slots in the next class, which I believe is a weekend class in September, around the first or second week of September, and you can call down the range and get enrolled. And I just wanted to follow up on something real quickly that Mark said earlier. There were about 3 or 4 couples who took advantage of our 2-for-1 special last week, and it helped them kind of pull the trigger literally and figuratively to take the class. And they came down there. They were all in their older years, I'm going to say all over 55, 60 years old. They weren't really sure if they wanted to do that, but they walked away feeling real good about it, knowing that their retirement years are going to feel a little bit more comfortable taking their own safety seriously and being taken in their own hands.
So if you're interested in doing that, we do recommend that you get handgun training first, and we have those classes available as well, either as our basic handgun class to help you choose which firearm you want to use, and also we can do that with private lessons, and we have several instructors that do that and are really great at helping you figure out what you want to do. Thanks for being part of the show today. Join us again next week at 2 o'clock for Shooting from the Hip. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290. News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Happy birthday, Audrey.